Don't you hate pants?
Here's Brunette. Brunette's in! Andrew Brunette shot a score! Andrew Brunette in 7-10 overtime! And Minnesota is moving on!
I won't need my high school diploma anymore! I am the smart! I am the smart! I am the smart! I am the smart! S-M-R-T! I mean S-M-A-R-T!
This is Niederreiter holding on to it, and he scores! Nino Niederreiter wins the series for the Minnesota Wild!
And welcome to episode, I forget what the hell number this is, 39 of the Giles and the Goalies podcast. We are live at the Twins Daily Winter Meltdown here in a deserted corner of the poorhouse. This is pretty much after the event has taken place, so the beers are pretty free-flowing thanks to our fearless leader, John Bonus, or at least for me, not Ben. Because John was kind enough to say, put it all in my tab, which is his first mistake. We got Ben, as usual, joining us in his Dominic Hasek jersey. Hello, Ben.
Circa 2000, yeah. I didn't even plan out the whole episode 39 thing, but that totally works.
I think I had a name for this episode 39. Actually, no, it was in a DM with you, me, and Charlie. And I think I had it live from prison or something like that because of something one of us did. But we're not going to elaborate anymore on that. So we'll leave it to your imagination. That was awful. What a terrible intro. We are also joined by our latest addition to the Wild Extra staff, who was previously heard on the 5-Minute Major. Not this most recent episode, but the one before. We're joined by Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hey, guys.
Full disclosure: we're a little tamer than the 5-Minute Major. We don't offer up any profanities here, nor are we going to pepper you with beer questions, which I know they're big on.
So it's okay if I say gosh then, because
yeah,
I don't know.
Yep.
Apparently,
yep.
I must say that
gosh
a lot
is acceptable.
Or something.
I mean, Berg. I forget who it was. It was probably Berg who took exception to the gosh. And I mean, you gotta replace gosh with God bleeping something. So.
I can usually do that if I'm just watching a Wild game in my house by myself. But
yeah, no, I
didn't, you know, think of that for a podcast. My first time out, so
that was I guess I was surprised that you let off with them. But they're fun. I'll say that. Like whenever I need to, I'll hop on the podcast and just vent, and that's when I can use my profanities. So
yeah, it was good once we got past, you know, the initial
the beer, yeah,
stuff. And yeah, once we got to hockey, which
I'll say
is what I thought it was going to be about.
I can respect someone who loves just having a Mick Golden Light or whatever, just for beer. Like, I love beer, but I'm not afraid to say, like, yeah, I'll drink a Mick Golden Light or Miller Light or whatever. If beer's cold, what the hell? Let's just roll with it. So we really don't have an agenda. We're just going to kind of roll with some guests in this episode. So we're just going to kind of give a few thoughts on the Wild, and then we'll see what happens, I guess. But, I guess what, after that abysmal one-game week the Wild had, what are your thoughts on the Wild at the All-Star break?
Well, I believe it was after the Wild, we're on their All-Star break, and now they're officially out of the playoff picture at this point.
Correct.
With Colorado and Nashville getting ahead of them. You know, it's kind of like, same old thing. with this team, except last year, you know, he brought in Devin Dubnyk and he saved the season. And that's not going to happen this year, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't feel like they're maybe as bad off as last year. You know, it doesn't seem like it's as dire, but it's still not good. They're just not producing. I mean, I've read a few stories recently where it's, okay, we're breaking down the numbers, and here's our, you know, here's the roster, and here's what these guys have and have not done this season as far as goals and assists, and it just, the production isn't there, and that's a problem. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do the first game after the break, since they have the longest break in the league, thanks to the awesome schedule yet again. And
bless you, NHL schedules.
Yeah, had to
actually
take a shot there.
More like bleep you.
But even after the first game, you know, it'll kind of be like, okay, maybe that's, you know, if they lose, maybe it'll be their hangover game. And you'll really have to get a couple games into it to see if they've changed things up or if it's they still haven't gotten out of the slump yet.
Yeah, no, that first game, I guess, you know, you're right. It's going to be very key because the way they lost to the Coyotes. Is it Coyotes or Coyotes?
I say Coyotes.
Thing. I'm pretty sure it's a regional thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's
anyway,
true. That's true.
The way they lost to the Coyotes was kind of a season-defining kind of a game. So, you know, and it just happened that it was at the All-Star break. So we'll have to see how they come out after the break, because I believe they start in New York, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be very interesting to see if they have some kind of slump again, or they just come out and just start steamrolling teams, because we know they can, I guess.
And they keep telling us they can, too. That's the part that's kind of gotten on my nerves lately, too, is, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I guess what else are you going to say after you keep losing, but it's, well, we know we're a great team. We know we can play well. We know all this stuff, and kind of like, okay, well, at some point that has to be shown on the ice, or, and you know, are we going to keep believing that? I mean,
and you're right, they are, you know, a great team. There is a good team in there, as referenced on the Sportive podcast this last week, as we might find a guest or two from that podcast later. The Wild, between the second half of last year and the first half of this year, would have been the President's Trophy winner. So we know that there's a President's Trophy team in that locker room. So a losing streak like this is just, it makes me drink, to be honest. Let's get that out of the way. So
you don't need much help with that. especially when it's on bonuses tab.
I'm sorry, John.
But yeah, it seems to be, and I listened a little bit today. Jordan Leopold was on KFan talking about it. And he said,
You listened to KFan?
Yeah, I did. I listened to KFan today for the first time in, like, I think 6 months. I was encouraged to by a very kind radio personality who I may or may not have trolled. But he said it's a confidence issue. And you know, I think a lot of people write confidence issues off because you can't quantify it at all. But at some point, I mean, you look at this team and you look at how they can play and then how they're playing versus how they're playing now, and there really isn't a better explanation for it, really. I mean, it's last year was easy. Our goaltending was awful. They acquired Devin Dubnyk. He becomes St. Devin overnight and carries his team all the way to the playoffs. This year, it's way more of an unpredictable kind of thing than that. So, and we've talked about it, too. I think them coming out the first game is going to be really interesting because, you know, this team is hopefully, you'd hope, at their lowest of lows right now. And let's see how they respond, especially with the week off and how that hasn't been very kind to them, you know, recently.
And that's what's so frustrating, too, is at times these guys can look so good. You know, they have games where it's like, man, they just scored 4 goals. They're, you know, the lines are clicking. They're getting good goaltending. So you've seen it. You know it's possible. But then they have these streaks where it's like, is this even the same team right now? You know, it's like, what's going on and what changes so much that, you know, they can't get back to that point? It's not like, oh, well, they have this slump and they kind of get back to being a mediocre team. I mean, they have had good games.
I think the, I don't know, a bigger thing of this year was we all expected these kids to take massive leaps forward. And, you know, with the exception of the big omelet, also known as Charlie Coyle, they really haven't. I guess if you listen to the Russo podcast, like, he kind of dropped it on his last show that, you know, there's just kind of a mentality in that locker room that some of these guys just don't take the initiative. They'll just defer to the vet. And the reason why Coyle's been on such a tear lately is because he just quit deferring. He's just finally like, I'm going to take the initiative, which is, you know, which has been very good. And we need more of that. I guess that's it's as simple as it gets. We need more of that. And
yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think there's some times where, you know, I'll watch plays develop with these guys, and you kind of look at them like, you know, okay, you maybe had a break there. You know, you get the puck in the offensive zone, maybe trying to catch the other team in a change, and all of a sudden, you know, they stop. And it's like they're waiting for their teammates because they don't want to go in alone, or, you know, they just kind of slow things down. Whereas sometimes you just feel like, take a chance and maybe, you know, take it yourself and drive to the goal or see what happens. I think it's maybe getting too defensive-minded at times, too, where you think, oh, well, if I go in by myself or if I lose the puck, then it's going to be a turnover, and then they're going to go down to the other end with it right away and on man rush or something. And I don't know, there's something, I've noticed that a lot more where there seems to be a lot of plays that, you know, they go in and they kind of turn around with the puck or they stop, you know, and I'd like to see them go further with that. Just, you've got the speed, you've got them off guard a little bit, maybe just go a little bit further and see what you can do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've seen it enough times where a guy enters the zone with the puck, maybe like a one-on-one or a one-on-two type situation, and just puts the brakes on at the faceoff dot and then waits for his teammates to catch up, looking for that beautiful cross-ice pass that, you know, sure, when it connects, it's awesome, but it's a super low percentage play, and I think a lot of the times, and that's especially been frustrating with Vanek, he's better off shooting because you've got a lot of guys on this team that have pretty good shots, and you know, any shot only with one guy on you from the faceoff circle is a pretty good scoring opportunity, as opposed to putting on the brakes and trying to set up your half-ice offense, which, as we know, is not really clicking on all cylinders right now. So that's, yeah, it's super frustrating, and it just makes it, you know, when you have frustrating aspects like that where you know the team has the talent to do better and they're just not, that makes it even worse.
Yeah, and I think it's tough, too, because, you know, you look at those kind of plays, and I've seen that kind of that highlight reel goal, I don't know, syndrome, I guess, with them for a while, where it's, you know, maybe they'll go through a little bit of a slump or a scoring drought or something, and then all of a sudden you get one of these garbage goals. You know, yeah. You get one of these, you throw something on net and it goes off someone's jersey and, it, you know, you score, and then it's like, oh, well, look at that, you know, look how easy that was, kind of, you know, almost. And I think it's opportunities like that that they need to think about more and just say, you know what, let's just put it on net and see what happens. You know, there's rebounds can go a lot of places. You know,
yep.
It's fast and furious down there along by the crease, and I think they need to be willing to take more chances like that instead of trying to do the tic-tac-toe perfect play.
Yep, it's just kind of, you know, kind of simplify the game a little bit. Just throw it on net and see what happens and crash the net. And, you know, it just feels like they've kind of got away from that. They just kind of pass, and then it just breaks down. And, you know, it just throw something on net, see what happens, and, you know, that's all you can do. Put somebody out front. And it feels like that's kind of escaped them. They just try to defer to somebody else, and that hasn't really worked for them. But, yeah, I guess on a we'll kind of switch gears here since we're going to kind of roll through some guests here. On a totally unrelated topic to the Wild, what are your thoughts on the NHL All-Star Game as that's taking place this weekend? Because it's a hot button topic.
Oh yes, it is. Well, even before this year, you know, the All-Star Games, I think with the big four sports, with the exception of baseball, I think people just think the All-Star Games are kind of a joke. You know, the hockey All-Star Game, you have, you know, all kinds of goals being scored, obviously, which is fun to watch, but it's not like a competitive contest by any means. And so I know when I heard they were going to do 3-on-3, I thought it didn't make any sense, because the reason you went to 3-on-3 for overtime was to try and get more scoring, and you didn't need any more scoring in the All-Star Game. And then I found out it was going to be this kind of bracket situation with the divisions, and I don't know. I think it's kind of a mess. I don't think it's really improving it at all with the 3-on-3. I think the overtimes have been very exciting. You know, obviously it's tough for the Wild to watch overtimes. They haven't had success, but it's still exciting to watch. So I like that aspect of it. I don't think it's a great format for an All-Star game. I think there was already enough scoring, and it's kind of a weird deal anyway. It's an exhibition. It's not, you know, guys aren't out there going to check each other through the boards, obviously. You know, it's not going to be the same game. So, and then I guess there's also the element of the suspensions for, you know, a couple of the guys that aren't able to play, which I think is odd as well, because, you know, it's an exhibition. I don't know. Those are all kind of some negative things, I guess. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone talk real positively about the All-Star Game, to be honest with you.
I guess I didn't think too negatively, I guess, of the All-Star Game itself until this morning when I had to explain it to my own mother, who was like, how are they doing the All-Star Game this year? And then I kind of had to... I said it once, and then she was like, can you say that again? And then I kind of had to dumb it down again. And then when you kind of have to do that, and then you're just like, what is this? What are we doing? And I, you know, as I've learned this past week, I'm more just like, let's kill the All-Star Game. Let's just be done with it. But they're not going to, as long as certain people are in charge of this league. They're not getting rid of it. They're just going to continue to use it for what it is, and, you know, just an opportunity to show the corporate wingdings the good life for a weekend, and they can get their selfies in with their favorite stars, unless they're injured and the NHL says, oh, you're suspended. But I guess let's just be done with it. That's where I am. I don't know how you are.
Yeah, as long as the Pro Bowl is still being played, I don't think the NHL All-Star Game is going anywhere, because there you won't find an All-Star Game worse than the Pro Bowl. NHL and NBA, it just kind of is what it is. Like, it's a exhibition that matters even less than an exhibition, it feels like. And like what Heather was saying with the scoring, they had a lot of scoring before. I don't know why they needed to go to 3-on-3 with this goofy, glitchy divisional setup. Like, what's the over-under for goals going to be scored tomorrow? 35? Like, you know, before you've got... Exactly, you've got, you know, games that were lending 12-9 and stuff in a hockey game. And now it's like, you didn't need to inject scoring into that. And then it just makes it like this weird thing where, you know, every team has to be represented, and you've got division versus division, and just, I think they really jumped the shark with the whole 3-on-3, all divisions against each other kind of thing. And I grew up with the North America versus the world, and I thought that was a lot of fun. I understood, you know, that maybe that didn't have a super good shelf life to it. Maybe you go back to East-West occasionally, or whatever. Campbell and Wales, I prefer, but it just, yeah, I'd like them to go back to more of a traditional style next year. I really hope they don't do the 3-on-3 again. I'm sure it's just going to be an abomination tomorrow, and hopefully that experiment ends quickly, but it is what it is. It's not going to go away, and I, by the same token, I'm probably not going to watch it.
And then to your point, I don't know if it'll ever go back to what it used to be when we grew up, because it felt like back then people actually gave a crap. But I don't know. So as our new guest walks up here, Heather, do you have any final thoughts on the Wild or anything in general? Or
final thoughts? Well, just I don't know, hoping that the Wild can come out of the break strong. You know, even if they lose that first game, you know, wait, give it a couple more and see how things are. See if maybe a couple players break out of their slump a little bit. You know, and just hope that they can, you know, as has been their usual, you know, try to get into the playoffs there, 7 or 8 spot. I mean, you're
still in. Let them go from there.
You know, and I think the NHL has shown the seedings don't necessarily matter all that much. So I think if they can just try and bounce back a little bit, come ready after the break.
All right. Well, we thank you for joining us briefly.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to let you rejoin the party here, and we're going to give away to our next guest. I guess we're going to do this live. We're going to
do it live.
Oh, God.
Hi, guys.
You can find him as the resident Star Tribune soccer insider.
Which makes it a good thing I'm on this podcast, because it's all about soccer.
You can also find him on the Sportive podcast, which I once took part in. Probably not going to get an invite back.
Can I tell a story about Giles?
After
he was on the podcast, he texted me. It was like, I forgot to talk for the first 8 minutes because I forgot I wasn't listening to this. I forgot I was on the podcast instead of just listening to it.
Yep, that was my Sportive podcast appearance. And if you can't tell by now, that is the voice of it, John Marthaler.
Hi, Giles.
Hi, John, who is one of the two resident hockey fans
yeah, on the Sportive.
Clarence, for obvious reasons, couldn't be at the Winter Meltdown today.
He couldn't make it.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
As per the norm, Clarence couldn't make it. But we
Ben, do you not have a mic right now?
No.
No, we're going to share.
We're sharing a mic.
Oh, yep. You guys are sharing. Yep. I don't have to share because I'm the guest.
The guests are going to get their own mics. But I guess, John, do you have any overall thoughts of the Wild at the All-Star break?
I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to ask you guys this. Of the Wild players so far this year, who would you not give a D or an F in terms of letter grades? I think Coyle would be on that list. Obviously, Dubnyk would be on that list. Koivu would probably be on that list. Parisi, obviously. Probably Suter?
Yeah.
Who else might be on that list?
I'd give Kemper a B, somewhere
Kemper,
in there.
Yeah.
But as just
you
as
really
a,
should just roll the goaltenders yeah, together and be yeah, like, yeah, they're saving no, this right, right now.
I guess beyond that, I can't think of anybody else. Because
maybe Scandella? Maybe Scandella?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, might be a C minus?
Defense as a whole has been. I think the defense has met expectation. They haven't scored much, which they didn't really last year anyway. So, you know, but you know, Dumba has certainly made his dumb mistakes. Spurgeon has even, you know, made a couple of bad turnovers here or there. But I think the defense on a whole has been about what we expected.
It is hard. It is hard to look
it's
at the
not
defense.
Good, though.
Yeah,
but I'll give you that. I don't think any of them were getting A's and B's. But I think the defense as a whole is. Yeah, probably in that C.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you say they've been good, but they haven't been scoring.
Right, right.
Which, I mean, that goes for
the
whole
problem.
Team. They're not
yeah.
scoring.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't get that extra boost from any of the defensemen, especially, as you mentioned, Dumba, who's,
well,
I mean, his role is sort of he's got to score something,
and
right?
I guess maybe in defense of Dumba, he hasn't really been put in a spot to where he can maybe put up the points because he's not getting the time on the power play where his skills could be put.
But you gotta have Ryan Suter. to hold the puck at the point.
Yeah, firing for an hour. Those limp wristers just into a crowd that doesn't get anywhere.
You see, like, once a season, what happens is it hits somebody in the head and deflects downward off somebody, off the goalie's leg, off the post, and in. That's what you're looking for from that weak wrister that wouldn't actually reach the net.
And that's where Mike Hill and his coaching staff says, well, if it happened once, it can happen
it
again.
It can happen again. This is... Ryan, why don't you keep throwing that little dribbler through the slot?
And just hope something happens.
Yep. Other teams like to try to shoot the puck at the net, but not the Wild. They're trying to deflect it in. It's like pinball.
They also just love throwing their vets out there that... who will struggle, and then they're just like, well, you guys have scored before, but we hope you can do it again.
Hey, these guys were good in 2009. Why not throw them out there together?
If this power play was in 2009, hot damn, we'd be the best in the league.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts on the Wild at the All-Star break. It's been just an underwhelming year. There's no getting around it.
And it's weird when you think about they've been... the best team in franchise history at halfway through the year.
I don't want to talk about
but
it. This conversation's over.
As we've discussed, they've not felt like that at all. Like it just feels terrible.
Well, and that's partially because we're into the annual Wild slide of everything feels terrible and they can score one goal a game. It's like, you remember in 2003 when they played Anaheim in the playoffs and suddenly they couldn't even get the puck to the net, never mind in the net, and nothing they could do resulted in a goal and there was nothing that could ever happen? Now they have an entire three-week stretch every year where it feels the exact same, like Jean-Sébastien Jaguère is in the net for every single game.
With his billboard pads.
Yeah, with his giant pads that actually extend above the net. he's just sort of peeking between them like he's looking between looking around a corner like, hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah, I think we talked about that at the halfway too when we looked up and said, hey, it's the most points they've ever had as a team. It's like, well, you think about it, I think the Swoons, as it's been trademarked now, they happened before the halfway point or slightly before the halfway point in seasons past, whereas this one's just maybe a shade later. And it seems like it feels like almost a market correction, basically, for this team because they weren't as good as...
Look, everybody, it's John Bonas.
Oh, hey, it's John Bonas.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, how's it going, John?
Why are you guys talking to Marthaler? What's the point of that?
Well, he claims he's a hockey fan, so
I understand he used to drive a Zamboni.
It's a soccer podcast now. I took it over. It's now a soccer podcast.
Well, you guys are all
we
soccer.
We talk about soccer. Wild Extra is a soccer
all
site.
Right, I'll be back here in a little bit to ask why the hell they haven't fired Mike Yeo yet.
Oh, no. if you didn't know, that was the voice of the Giggly Godfather.
The Giggly Godfather himself. John Bonas, the most enthusiastic man in
John
sports
Bonas,
podcasting.
Who loves everything, but apparently hates Mike Yeo, as we just learned.
It's strange that we finally found something John doesn't like.
He does not like Mike Yeo.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember what
it
we
had
were
to be something.
On, but
we were talking about Jean-Sébastien Jaguère, so that was a good. That was a good little.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for a Mighty Ducks conversation on this podcast, but
that happened. That happened in our lifetimes. That the NHL named a team after a movie,
which I love.
That was until, in our lifetime. That wasn't something that happened in 1935, Giles.
Until
that happened while we were alive.
Until Disney sold out the Ducks, and then they became just the Ducks with some weird webbed foot. Yeah,
is Wild Wing still their mascot? Do they still have the Mighty Ducks skating around?
You know what? I think Wild Wing is still the mascot, which just
he's
ruins,
a cartoon duck. Everyone, for everyone who's listening right now, he's a cartoon duck. That was part of the Mighty Ducks rollout in 1993 or whatever that was.
He was the main character in the Mighty Ducks cartoon series, which was very short-lived.
That is mercifully short-lived, I would say.
But,
I like how I've been on the podcast for 6 minutes and both of you are like, ugh.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, no.
As we've learned from some of our other listeners, that it just... at some point in the podcast, I just become defeated with everything. So
Giles just gets beat down by modern life in the Wild.
Whether it was the podcast a couple weeks ago where we went on after the Vikings' terrible loss in the playoffs.
That was not a good time for anybody.
That was
a time for soul searching. It was a time for family.
Minnesota sports just defeats you to your core, and
it's like it matches the weather pattern somehow. Like as the days get shorter, it's like sports seasonal affective disorder. We need some sort of sports light box that we can set on our desk and get a little full spectrum light on us. I don't know what that would be though.
At some point, I just keep telling myself, "Ed, thank you."
All right.
Uh oh. At some point.
What's
this section's going to close?
This section, we are, for just to give a little atmosphere for the podcast listener, we're upstairs in the back corner of Poor House. There's like leather booths. It's like a Godfather thing. And a guy, I would say, is about 102 years old.
And just
came by and told us that we got to get the heck out of here because the cool people are about to come in.
Wow.
And Ben is wearing a Dominic Hasek Sabres jersey. So I don't know how much cooler you get than that.
Yeah. So that just killed my train of thought.
Giles is done. He can't think of anything else.
This is not the first time that's happened. Pretty much when you interrupt Giles with anything on the podcast, he gets so derailed.
The best of which was when in our early days, we recorded from a diner, and some guy came up and asked us if we were going to record some kind of, rap album. Yep.
Yeah.
Which I don't even remember what that train of thought was, but
were you recording a rap album?
No, not at all.
We were having breakfast.
We're the whitest people you'll ever meet. So
I don't know.
I'm
on the Sportive Podcast.
Actually,
and it doesn't get a lot whiter than that one.
We're gonna have Dan on in a little bit, and he's about the whitest person you'll ever meet.
Dan Mick is the whitest man in existence.
So I guess before we get kicked out and we have to relocate, John, do you have any hot takes on the NHL All-Star Game since it's a hot button topic right now?
You know, I have long thought that the secret for the NHL All-Star Game, which is a pointless weekend that should be participated in by no one, like all of us, I thought it was cool when I was a kid. It's
exactly.
For 8-year-olds. You like the you know the skills challenge with the targets on every corner of the goal? That was me. I was there just like, what's going to happen? Who's going to have the hardest shot this year, guys?
Yep.
Is it going to be Al Iafrady again?
Al McInnes.
When I was a kid, it was cool. And then you come back to it later in life and you're like, I like this. It's like the home run derby in baseball. You're like, this is cool. And you watch and you're like, this is boring. Yeah. These guys are not excited to be... I think Patrick Kane is drunk. He's drunk right now. I'm pretty sure he's drunk. So, to get back to my original point,
Patrick Kane,
why not just go the whole way and have him play pond hockey? Why not? You're already playing 3-on-3 with goalies that are just out there to be embarrassed. Just put the little box on the ice and play pond hockey. Who doesn't like that better?
I mean, you're not wrong, but you got to throw them in these big arenas because the NHL just loves to
Well, they want a showcase weekend. Everybody wants a showcase weekend, except the showpiece is nothing.
Right.
It's like making the Pro Bowl a showpiece weekend, and it's not.
My big thing is when most of your players feel like you should just dump the game and just give them a week off or whatever because they don't want to be there, you should probably rethink that, but... As long as Gary Bettman is in charge, it's always going to be there.
Or take a week off, play Canada versus the USA versus Russia versus Finland, and kick all the Swedes out and make them cry on the other side of the glass. I don't know. Just some little World Cup tournament. People go crazy for that. I mean, I would watch Canada lose at hockey. I love when Canada loses at hockey. Every year at the World Juniors now they lose to Kazakhstan or something, and they go on to win the gold, but... They lose to somebody. I'm like, yes, take that, Canada.
I will give you that. It is fun to watch Canada on Twitter just lose their crap because they lost in the World Juniors.
They're so nice, and everyone likes them, and then they play international hockey, and all of their aggression comes out at one time.
They act like their you-know-what doesn't stink.
Oh, they're like St. Louis Cardinals fans and Packers fans and... Badgers fans, Michigan football fans, all rolled into one giant white ball of hatred
as
for the rest
as
of the
that
world.
Sounds, you're not wrong.
I'm exactly right. So in conclusion, what I want all the All-Star game is more of Canada losing. Maybe we could just broadcast a currency exchange and watch the loony tank.
Well,
that's some hot financial takes right there. How's that for a hot take? The loony's tanking. No one wants Canadian money.
That's about as good as it'll get. I mean, you just put it on the bottom bar of the scoreboard. Just the loony is terrible.
Just a ticker.
Yep. Just
ticker.
Real life.
It's just
ticker.
Nothing but just, yep. U.S. versus Canadian dollar exchange rates. Ah, it's worth
we
78 cents
you.
Again. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I think we gotta. We got a quick wrap it up with John here and get out of this booth. And
I will say
I
can't believe
on.
John Scott is still a thing. Because I remember him. I was in college at the same time he was playing at Michigan Tech. So a couple times a year they'd come to Mariucci Arena. And the fun part of John Scott was he's 6'7". And Michigan Tech had a guy named Chris Connor who was 5'4" on skates. And they would all stand next to each other in, like, the national anthem line. And it was hilarious because it looked like a dad and his 6-year-old out for a skate. But you never once in that whole time did you look at John Scott and be like, that is a future NHL player. Never mind an all-star.
Yeah.
That is a future person who is going to make it in the league. Because even then he couldn't skate. He can't skate now. But even then, it was even worse.
Well, and the NHL has done a wonderful job of making sure that John Scott will go down in the history book somewhere. Because
that was also when Gopher hockey was good, so
yeah.
we can remember that.
When they were fun
Thanks
to watch.
Thanks a lot, Alvarez.
And, yeah, and bleep you, Barry Alvarez and Terry Pegula.
Yeah,
who had just Pegula. So ruined college hockey forever. Yeah, I guess.
And Terry Pegula sits down and Barry Alvarez gets a broken nose, am I right? Dan Hicks here.
I
see Dan Hicks right there. He's
John,
wearing a soccer shirt.
He is. I think thanks.
Go United!
Thanks no more to your tutelage, John.
Yes. I do what I can.
We all learn. So.
All right, I'm going to give way to Dan here. You guys are about to get thrown out of this section, though, so.
Type of podcast. Weird familiarity to our listeners.
He has joined us on the
show before.
He hails from
St. Paul in the Midway area. He currently rocks a Summit Brewing cap, which is of my belief is cursed. And he's also rocking a Minnesota United FC shirt, which is awesome, considering they are going to move within 2 miles from his house. He is a noted listener of the podcast, Daniel Mick.
Hey, hello, everyone.
That's a very Randball Stew-like opening.
I mean, it wasn't exactly his opening, but it was similar.
It was very close. It's not, hey guys, how's it going?
It wasn't Clarence's opening, which is sup effers.
Oh my God, John Bonus in real life
is
back.
He's back again.
He has returned.
Have you been here the whole time? Yes, yeah, you said earlier. Hi.
John, I told him to use your tab. I'm kidding.
No, I just gave him my beer tickets instead. So he's.
I'm kidding.
No,
oh my God, no, no more beer tickets.
I gave him a lot of. I only used one, so he's had plenty.
Yeah, so he's had two, and that's more than enough.
Right.
You know. The schoolgirl tolerance.
I am German, Irish, and overweight. I can handle my liquor.
All my best lines are going to be missed by the microphone. I'm a little disappointed by that. We need a third mic. Actually, I need a splitter with three.
Yeah.
Don't get us started on splitter problems right now, John.
Problems.
I've got about three of them in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're the only splitter that works is the one
we
that you gave us.
We don't
so.
Play. The lights are going out.
Oh, this is...
Are we going to get kicked out again?
No, there's glow sticks coming in.
We've got a UFO sighting here.
Oh, God.
Dude, there's a dude with tinfoil on his head behind me.
Here. Yeah.
That's not weird.
Going into the secret bookcase.
I'm not going to pretend like I'm not a little weirded out by this. That's why they evacuated us from the back corner so they could have some kind X-Files fan party or something. I don't know.
I do this is a Wild podcast? Yeah. I do seriously want to say, why can't we talk about Mike Yo?
We can.
Okay. So
I wrote about him on Thursday.
Okay, good, good.
Right.
I think we knee-jerk reaction against any sort of we got to change the coach talk because so many brainless morons jump into it at the first suggestion of it.
Yeah.
But when you have some of them raise their hands when they're spoken to. But I think it's worth saying, you know, when you're 3 years in a row where look at you with your little subtle little picture you're taking.
That was the least subtle thing ever, Giles. Jesus. Yeah.
Tell you what, the big flash going off would have also the big flash going off would have might given away too there, champ.
Yeah.
So, at some point when you're 3 years into the same repeating pattern over and over again where a team seemingly cannot handle any kind of prosperity,
yeah.
Right? At some point you say to yourself, is there a change we can make such that the team can handle prosperity? And the obvious answer to that is, Make a coaching change for seemingly, at this point, it seems like you've almost got to bring a hard ass in, somebody who can demand a lot from players or motivate players when they're, you know, seemingly otherwise just going to coast into a playoff spot, and he's going to still demand excellence from them. And it's not clear that Yo, who is a very, very reasonable man, is unreasonable enough to get people's attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the point that I made on Thursday was that we don't know if he can actually develop talent at all because he kind of got handed, not a great farm system, but a decent amount of young talent, and none of them have progressed whatsoever. And it's like, it's kind of getting to the point now, 3 years in or 4 years in for him, where it's like, can he develop an NHL star? He's good at developing NHL players, and that's why he got the job, because he was in Houston and kind of made something out of nothing there, but... We don't know that he's... I mean, nobody has taken a step forward with him. Mikael Granlund hasn't taken a step forward. You know, Charlie Coyle is maybe the only one this year that is. Nino Niederreiter is wildly inconsistent. It just seems like it's... The thing that I would call into question is his development. And then the motivation thing is also a thing, too. I still don't know that you fire him now because I think that he gives this team the best chance right now to make the playoffs still. I get what you're saying. Like, there is some coach out there that might be able to do it, but I don't know that there is, and I don't know who that would be.
Well, my point was, firing him right now as is would be a white flag on the season. So let him finish out, because the coaches that are out there right now to come in and take over are just awful. Like, I don't like any of them.
Does it matter if you wave a white flag on the season? Is this team going to do anything? Do you have any confidence that this team is going to do anything in the postseason anyway? I've got literally 0% faith right now that this team is going to make any kind of run in the playoffs anyway.
Right.
I'm not saying you'd latch onto somebody out of desperation at this point, but what I'm saying is if you find the right coach, somebody who you think can...
Somebody
be unreasonable enough to lead a bunch of guys who are frankly look a little too comfortable in the position that they are in, then you make that change now, whether or not it's two-thirds of the way through the season.
And maybe John Tortorella was that guy that they should have just kicked the can on, but Columbus beat them to the punch.
Right. I don't know that the Wild organization is going to bring in another coach if they were to fire Yo. I feel like if they were to fire Yo, they would probably just replace him with an assistant or, maybe dial Jock Lemaire's number another time or something. Yeah, Andrew Burnett would be the head coach.
were you guys here for the Pagliarulo talk? Did you hear the Pagliarulo talk talking about Tom Kelly? So somebody was asking Pagliarulo about Tom Kelly. Now, this is obviously a totally different sport. But we were asking about the 1991 season, and actually, I don't even think we mentioned Tom Kelly. We mentioned, when did you feel like the season was really going to turn around? And his talking point was, it was in June of 1991. Now, in June of 1991, the Twins went on a 15-game win streak. But he didn't talk about the 15-game win streak. What he talked about was, there was a game in which Kirby Puckett hit a one-hopper to the pitcher. The pitcher threw it to first base. Kirby Puckett started running and then peeled off. Didn't run all the way to first base, and then he came back to the dugout. Now, just so we're clear, this is 1991. Kirby Puckett's a legitimate superstar. He's been to the All-Star game several times. He's about to be a free agent in 1993, right? And he's, you know, he's the leader of the 87 world team that got... Tom Kelly legitimately loves Kirby Puckett. Kirby Puckett comes back to the dugout, and Tom Kelly says to him, "Puck, you seem kind of tired. Why don't you go hit the showers?" And Puckett's like, "No, I'm good, coach. I'm good." And he goes and he sits down all the way on the other end of the dugout. And Tom Kelly gets up, walks halfway down the dugout, and says, "Puck, you seem like you're a little worn out. Why don't you go to the showers?" And, "No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm feeling strong, coach." He gets all the way, stands in front of Puckett, and says, "You didn't run it out to first base. You must be tired. You go to the showers now." And Puckett... leaves the dugout, heads upstairs, and after the game, they go upstairs, and Puckett is unshowered in his Twins uniform with tears in his eyes and apologizes to the team for not running out the thing to first base. That will never happen again. And that is the same month in which they go on a 15-game win streak. Now, here's my question about this. That's an unreasonable thing to do. First of all, probably you have to have the credibility of probably winning a world championship to do that. But that's right. Going after your star player for not doing what they're supposed to do, and something that is clearly something they're supposed to do, and something that is also, by the way, inconsequential. It didn't matter whether you did it or not.
And if you follow this Wild team, just kind of to make the comparison, Mike Yo will never do that.
He's a reasonable man. Is a good point. Preaches consistency, and I respect him preaching consistency. But his team, you can preach consistency all you want. The team's inconsistent. I mean, it's inconsistent in a game.
Mike Yo will never.
The first period will be awesome. The second period will be terrible. The third period will be.
He will never get in the face of Mikko Koivu and say,
"No,
Mikko, you didn't. You know, you didn't back check hard enough on this one play, you know, whatever."
Yeah.
Like, he's not going
to do
that.
But he's also been very easily pushed around by his veterans, too, publicly even, where, Suter and
got right on
even
him.
Recently, you know, and you don't think of Parisi as a bully at all, but Parisi had a talk with Yo apparently after a game. Next game, Parisi's on his familiar line with Pominville and Granlund. Thomas Vanek last year lobbied for, you know, playing time with Granlund and then subsequently got it, and it didn't work out at all. So, you know, there's a lot of talking points where it's like, if they don't turn it around and turn around very fast, if they don't basically come out of the break, all cylinders firing like the second half of last season, it's going to be very easy for a lot of people to very legitimately call for his head, you know, unlike last year.
That's my big point. My big point isn't so much that Mike Yo should be fired. My point is, it's a completely legitimate point to question whether or not Mike Yo is the right coach for this group of guys.
The hottest take I have right now is when Mike Yo is fired as Minnesota Wild coach, he will win the Stanley Cup within 3 to 4 years of the next team he coaches for.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
This is my theory. The Wild will do not well enough this year. He'll get fired. He's going to get hired by the Pittsburgh Penguins. The team he used to be
there.
The assistant coach for.
He
is going to take them back to where they needed to be.
And even then, it doesn't mean that it was a bad idea to fire him.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's just what I think in my mind.
And that goes back to my Thursday article. It just maybe, and it was a good fit for him when he had a lot of really young guys, but now that he needs to develop NHL players into stars, that's not a good fit for him anymore. This team fit him at first because he was able to turn Granlund, Coyle, Nino, Zucker, all of those into NHL players. Okay, now they're NHL players. Now we need to make
them into NHL great players.
And he's not able to do that. And so if that doesn't happen, if we don't see that, it's going to be really hard for anybody to defend him. And
to take a line from Clarence Swamptown, veteran syncopacy.
John, get John back here. John, let's talk about veteran sycophancy.
Not that I don't love Clarence Swamptown, I'm just giving him shit.
I
last at the door?
Yeah. You have your red ticket. All right. Much thanks to the Giggling Godfather for multiple appearances on this podcast.
Yeah. That was
he hasn't been on this podcast since he was giggling in the background of our first episode.
Yeah, the James Taylor episode.
The James Taylor episode.
But I guess now that John has departed unannounced, I guess, Dan, what are your thoughts on the Wild since you've been you kind of got usurped by John here for a couple of minutes?
When it comes to the Giggly Godfather, I would not have anyone replace me but him. I haven't watched the Wild much this year. I've first half of the year I turned a little bit. I haven't watched a single game in probably the last 3 weeks, a full game at least. And I haven't seen they haven't played much.
Yeah, and spoiler alert too, you haven't missed much.
That's very true. I've caught up on them after the game, but also I haven't been to a single game this year, which is weird because usually I go to a couple more. But
yeah.
I'm in school now. I'm working. I just don't have the money. I don't have the extra money lying around to go to an NHL game. But they are not making me want to go to a game. They're not making me want to go look on StubHub or anything that, or Ticket King, a great place to go look for games.
Yes, very good.
Oh, a sweet promo for our friends at Ticket King. But no, they make you go enough to where you have to beg your friend for tickets to the outdoor game because he's got the access.
Hey now, that's going to be a fun game. You know it. Both games.
Yeah, because we're going to be inebriated, so we're not going to remember
Monday
it
off?
At all.
You guys took Monday off.
No.
Right? No, you should probably take Monday off.
I can't.
I'm not planning on it. I'll rock through it.
I can't because I'm taking 2 days off the next week and then 3 days off the following week for various things.
Well,
because
priorities, Charles.
I'm going to D.C. the next week.
That's right.
The week after is the state high school tournament, which I love dearly, and I'm going to attend. Dan has a great story about the state tournament from last year.
Giles, do you remember the state tournament from last year?
Barely.
Not the Thursday.
So, at the state tournament, Giles and I went last year. It was awesome. 2 years ago was even more special, but last year specifically, we walked up. My older brother was at the game with a friend of his from church. We walk up, and
This was in the evening session, not the afternoon session. Dan and I went to both sessions on the Thursday for Class 2A.
Giles does not remember very much at all.
I'm shocked.
He had my brother's friend asking him to please stop swearing in front of children who were right next to him because we went to go visit my brother and his friend at their seats, like two seats off the glass on the on one of the sides. I can't remember what section it is.
Awesome.
But pretty good seats. And Giles and I were very, very toasty. It was very enjoyable, and thank God for the green line for being right off of right near my house, having a stop there.
Yeah, all I remember was asking your brother was who had just revealed that he was expecting his firstborn was, did I congratulate him already? Which I said about roughly 8 to 9 times. So the key was,
you can never be too sure.
Dan and I, after the first game in the afternoon session, we snuck out the smoker's entrance, or the smoker's exit, where they could get stamped, go out to smoke, and come back in. We snuck out there, we ran down to Reed's, we slammed a couple of drinks, and then we came back in for the next game. And the next game was such a blowout, at the end of the second intermission, we ran back down to Reed's thinking, yeah, we're just going to come back in for the evening session. Well, the second game turned into be a great game because I think Duluth East came back to win after being down by like 3 goals.
Yeah, that was a fantastic
game. And we were watching at Reed's while slamming beers. And we were just like, son of a, we missed that, but we're slamming beers. So by the time we got in for the evening session, we had slammed many beers. And when we met up with his brother, we were pretty damn good and drunk because we didn't nearly eat much food. So Their profanities were free-flowing, much like you would find on a five-minute major podcast. As much as I love them.
Gosh, I don't swear a lot.
I don't swear a lot, but the profanities were pretty on track with them. And we were sitting right in front of, like, children.
Which it's kind of funny because you don't expect that out of Giles because he's relatively mild-mannered. But then you just it doesn't take much, and you get a couple of beers, and he really goes. He starts going that super vulgar, and this bitterness comes out in him, and this, like, you know, the whole the shell comes off a little bit, and he becomes just like this, like Super Giles or something to that effect. We don't want to relate to Superman because that just sucks, but.
No, bleep him.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a totally different animal.
You too, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, yes. Don't get us started on that topic again. We already spent 15 minutes on that 2 weeks ago.
So, speaking of state tournaments, the year previous, 2 years ago now, Giles and I went to a couple of the games. We left the Edina game early because they were up 3-0. Because
screw Edina.
2 or 3-0 after the first period. Giles
I
and
like
I...
your beard!
Thank you, Seth.
That was Seth Stoltz of Twins Daily.
I'm just getting random compliments
tonight.
I'd
love to get him back here for a minute because he actually knows somewhat about hockey because he lives up in the Iron Range.
We're wrapping up anyway.
Well, we still got another guest. But anyway, Dan was finishing something.
Back to the 2 years ago state tournament, after we left the Edina game, we went back to Tom Reed's because, of course, that's our normal hangout. For hockey games. And all of a sudden we see some weird, like, people leaving quickly, oddly. And Bill Baker, who gold medalist Bill Baker from the 1980s Miracle on Ice team, sprints out with this amazing flow hanging behind him.
No. It was more than amazing. Like, his flow was on fleek. Like,
oh, dope,
sweet.
Boo.
Sweet Christ.
No. We don't say on fleek on this podcast.
Don't you hate pants?
No, yeah, we don't say on fleek on this podcast.
It was awesome. Like, Bill Baker, if Bill Baker's done anything right in his life, it's his flow. Like, it is awesome.
But, so we see Bill Baker's flow running out, and we're like, what is going on? And then, all of a sudden, the police show up. And we are wondering what on earth is going on. Our waiter, our server comes over and says, "You need to cash out. We're closing for the night." And we're like, "This is, you know, 9:30 on a Friday or Saturday night. I can't remember what night it was. Right. Probably Saturday night. This seems like a really weird time to close unexpectedly." And it turns out a guy who is impersonating a St. Paul police officer was shot. Or no, a guy impersonating a St. Paul police officer shot his friend in the chest with a handgun in the back room at Reed's.
Oh, okay.
Because his friend wanted to turn him in for impersonating a police officer and stealing drugs from drug dealers.
Okay. Wow.
The guy survived, thank God.
Yeah, I can see how that would shut down a party.
Yeah, it was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had at a bar.
Wow.
All of a sudden, our server comes over and says, "You please cash out. We need to make sure we get our money for the night." And then they kicked everybody out and the place closed down. The guy survived, but this all happened on the back patio 2 years ago at Reed's.
It's a great story.
Yeah. And,
so we can probably wrap up with Dan there.
And,
you can't top
that. Ever since me and the bartenders at Reed's have been BFFs ever since.
Yeah. All right.
So. Oh, shut up.
I don't know what that means.
I guess we can kind of finish up with Dan on that, although we never really got Dan's opinion on anything.
That's okay. He admitted to not watching a whole lot of games, and we said, you know what, that's okay, we don't blame you.
John kind of swooped in and
stole
his thunder there. Dan, do you have any lasting thoughts, I guess, on the NHL All-Star Game, since that kind of a hot topic now?
The NHL has screwed the pooch on so many things lately, John Scott being the most prevalent of all of that. I don't care at all about the NHL All-Star Game whatsoever.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I remember tweeting, I saw a time hop that it reminded me that I was talking about how much I enjoy the NHL All-Star Game, I'm so jaded to the fact that it exists this year.
Yeah.
And in future years, I probably won't care very much because Gary Bettman and the whole executive suite.
Freudian slip there.
Gary Bettman.
Buttman! Gary.
That whole collective suite has lost my attention as a fan of the sport.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still a fan of hockey at lower levels, and
sure,
I'm still a fan of wild hockey. But at the NHL level, I don't care about what's going on as a whole. I'm much more a fan of EPL soccer because I can remain cognitively dissident of the fact that it is existing if I just stop paying attention to it.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's no corruption in soccer at all.
Much corruption. if there's money
that's
involved...
That's a pretty great argument.
if there's money involved, there's corruption.
Right.
But the nice thing about corruption with FIFA is that it's just corruption about where games take place and not how the game takes place.
Yeah, that's mostly true, yeah.
As where John Scott being kicked out of the All-Star game
right.
or attemptedly being kicked out is... It
absurd.
Shines so badly.
Yeah,
and like,
it does.
Just go out, have a fun competition. Don't try and make it into something it's not. It's not the MLB All-Star Game. That is the only entertaining
right.
one to watch because...
It's factually correct.
It's people out there playing a children's game for fun, yep. as where the NHL, MLB has it, but NHL, NFL, and the... I don't even know if... Do people watch the NBA All-Star Game?
No.
Yeah, that's...
No.
It's the MLB All-Star Game that people care about
yeah.
because it's something special.
And even that is just because there's nothing else on that night, so it's like, yeah, sure, what the hell, I'll watch it.
Yep. And this coming Sunday, we have both the NHL and NFL All-Star Games.
Hashtag blessed.
Oh, boy. We can all sit back and enjoy that on this coming Sunday. Or we can watch paint dry.
On this coming Sunday when we're all hungover from the Twins Daily Winter Meltdown.
Yeah. All right, well, thank
yeah.
you, Dan, for joining us.
Thanks to Dan.
We're going to have maybe
another guest.
Another guest. We'll see you, maybe.
You'll never walk alone. Go Liverpool. Woo!
Dan gets in.
I should have paused before he did that.
Jurgen
I'm so sorry.
Reference to end the podcast. But, yeah, we're going to see who's going to join
see
us
see what else
next,
we can drag
we'll
in.
Figure out what's next. All right. We are back. We've got our—I forget how many guests this is. Fourth.
Like, well, it depends
fifth,
on if you count
sixth,
how they came. We had Seth Stowes jump in.
Anyway,
jump in.
Our next guest comes to us from coldomaha.com. He writes for a vast majority of different topics, one of which is the Wild, and he has been featured a couple times on the Wild Extra blogs.
It's true.
It is Tom Schreier. Is that right?
Schreier.
I was close. It's all right.
I think that's
my name is Giles Frail, so I'm used to it. So don't. I don't take any offense to that. But anyway, it is Tom Schreier from Coloma. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. You're not the first person to get it wrong. We used to say with solicitors, we would call into the house, we would know if it's someone we know, you know, who knows us, because they know to pronounce it Schreier. Otherwise, it does look like Schreier. It also has, I think, every vowel available. Most people misspell it. I've had teachers who thought you added E-R, E-R, E-R. It went on infinity, right? You know, it went on forever. But hopefully I'm making a name for myself, even with all my vowels and mispronunciations and all that.
Yeah, and I don't have those problems necessarily, but...
Remington,
yeah.
People know Remington.
Yeah, well, the thing that I run into, for some reason, and I'll never understand this, people always want to put two M's in it.
Really?
And I'm like, why?
No, that's
well,
wrong.
I've never seen it spelled like that anywhere,
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
And when I tell them my name, I just, by default, spell it out for them because they'll always put two M's.
That's interesting.
It's weird. It's like, you can't screw my name up, and you're...
Is a Remington
are.
A rifle? I'm trying to think
yeah.
of what, like,
it's a
yeah.
lot of things, but yeah,
yeah,
it's most famously gun company, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? The male.
This is getting weird.
I forget what it is. Yep, the male enhancement. No, I'm just kidding.
No, they do shaving products
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
I've seen tires, Remington tires.
Product, like,
I don't even keep track because I don't get a dime from any of it, so I don't keep track of that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask at some point, are you a relation?
No, I don't know if it's a completely different family or if like my family sold out a long time ago and I never saw any money from it or what. But
anyway,
nothing.
As we sit here at the Poorhouse, who kindly hosted the Twins Daily Winter Meltdown this year, who's now all of a sudden showing the Vikings Super Bowl loss to the Dolphins. Thank you very much.
Well, they're showing extreme sports too, Giles, if you just watch a different TV.
Hey, we've gone over those extreme sports. And actually, I've started to like some of them. But anyway, since we have Tom here, I guess, Tom, what are your thoughts on the Wild as they hit the All-Star break this year?
They're generally negative. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. And the thing that pisses me off about this team is they are very opposed to criticism, I guess. They're not very accepting of it. I only see this kind of, I see this a little bit as an insider, right? Someone who has had covered the team a year ago.
Right.
Someone who's been writing about the team for quite some time, knows the PR staff, knows the other people who cover it, knows what people like, you know, Chad Graff and Michael Russo go through on a daily basis when they write anything vaguely, relatively negative about the team. But, it's tough because I really, I just wrote something recently where coldoma.com launching on Monday, making sure that we don't, we don't crash or whatever. and it's on 93X, KQ92. I wrote something about how everyone's kind of ready to nitpick this roster. You know, they have a bone to pick with Fletcher. And my whole theory with this team, and I'm not a fire the coach kind of guy. I don't think it's that simple ever. And I try not to take a hot take route or whatever when a team's losing. But I think it's not very difficult. I think Yo is not getting the best out of his team. And I think the most difficult thing about this is I think they have something good going and they've stalled. And that's, I guess, where I'd go with that.
And that's what we talked about with John Bonas a few minutes ago, is that he basically said the same thing, and that he's just, and that's something that kind of parlays off of what I wrote about on Thursday on Wild Extra, is that it just seems like, and we could be wrong, and the way they come out of the gate, I think, is going to make the world a difference.
Right.
It just seems like he might not be the best man for the job anymore, because he's developed a lot of the young players into NHL players, but hasn't developed them into stars. And that's what they're lacking. They're lacking stars. They're lacking good NHL players. They have a lot of, reasonable NHL players. Like, they should be NHL players. Jason Zucker is good. Mikael Granlund is good enough to play in the NHL, but just none of them are progressing the way that we would have liked them to, and that was kind of my whole point on it. I still think that there's plenty of time for Yo to save the ship, and I think if they come out of the gate hot, I think that they could, it's almost likely, because they've done it so many times. That's just kind of the formula that they run every season for some reason.
It
just seems like if they come out stumbling at all, it's going to be, it will be almost more surprising if he isn't replaced, if they don't come out on a tear like they did last season, basically.
It's a ruthless business in the sense that I look to make another Minnesota comparison. Sam Mitchell, for example, with the Wolves, is not very well liked. He's kind of on the hot seat, I'm here making enemy of myself really quick. But here's the thing. I think Sam Mitchell as an assistant coach would have been great and actually was in a perfect position.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is he may get fired because once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't get him back in, right? And I think the sad thing is he teaches fundamental basketball well. He is good with young players in some capacity. Yeah. He is in the wrong role. And the problem is, I don't think you can put him back and make him an assistant again. So they're going to probably fire him and bring in a coach who is right for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I look at it with Mike Yeo in the Wild. Maybe that at the time he was hired, he was the right guy. Guys who coached in Houston.
Yep.
He was a very good coach then. He was an assistant on a Stanley Cup winning team in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And so maybe he'd be a great assistant coach. Maybe he'd be great in Iowa right now.
Right.
But because he's the head coach, and because I don't think he's the right guy for the job, I think you need someone older. Giles, we were talking off air. Ken Hitchcock would be great if the Blues fire him, right?
Yeah.
Lady Ruff would have been nice. I think you could also go for a admittedly mediocre coach like Peter Laviolette, who I don't think is amazing by any stretch of imagination, but took the Flyers, right? 2009, he was the coach there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to make of Nashville, but Nashville seems like an all-in mentality, even though they are kind of behind in the standings. They went and made a big trade and whatnot. He's their coach now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of options in that kind of older coach rung that would be a great fit for the Minnesota Wild. And so this is, and I try to stress this whenever I have the ability to talk to the Minnesota Wild, this is not personal. I don't have anything against Mike Yeo, the man.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's a good person. I think Minnesota people will like him because he goes out and hunts and fishes, and he's going to look great in that, whatever, it's not the Winter Classic, but whatever the outdoor game is we have
Stadium Series.
He's going to look like a perfect fit there. He looks like a hockey guy through and through.
Yeah.
But he is not the right fit for a team that needs to win now. And Zach Parise is not getting younger. Brian Suter is not getting younger. Is Pominville over the hill? What about Vanek? And so they have this contrast in age, right? You have 33-year-olds and 23-year-olds. You have to make it work. The young guys are good. They're ready to go. And the older guys should be producing. And so that, in my mind, you need a veteran coach who's been through this before in order to get them to the next level.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that it's a really fine line they're walking. And it's they've kind of created this own problem with the way they played over the last 3 weeks to a month even. That's just where we're at. The way it'll be, I think the road trip coming out of the break will be probably the most pivotal series of games for this team maybe all season, because it really might determine where their season goes and who their coach is at the end of the season.
And there will be no savior this year, right? Druin's not playing hockey right now.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see Nugent Hopkins, and I actually think, and I don't know anything about the Oilers outside of from like a basic, you know, hockey fan standpoint, but I think they would love a guy like Brodin, who's a good defensive player, a young guy they can build around.
Yeah.
And maybe you throw something else in if you're the Wild, but that would have been a great trade. His hand is broken, and you're not getting him. You're not getting Stamkos.
Right.
You guys have said this on the show before.
Yeah.
He is a rental. He's an expensive rental, and he's not going to end up in Minnesota. So who else do you go to? Louis Eriksson is not your savior.
No.
This is what you see is what you get with the Minnesota Wild. And so I look at it this way, and you guys can feel free to comment. You have how many ex-captains on the team? You have Koivu as the current captain.
Six.
You got who it's Pominville, Parise.
Yeah.
Who else is on there?
Pominville, Parise, Suter, Vanek, Koivu, and
I'm missing the last guy too. But you have guys who have been in leadership positions before. And
it
here's my other thing. I don't see problems with the leadership in the locker room because you also have young guys who could emerge there. I think Charlie Coyle could be that at some point.
Yeah.
I think Matt Dumba could be that at some point.
Could be, yeah.
And my point here is it's not a problem with who you've assembled in that locker room. It's a problem of when you have a 5-game losing streak. Do you guys remember 24/7 back maybe 3 years ago, Bruce Boudreau, I think, was the Capitals coach, and he made up that, like, every team goes through these losing streaks, and his team bought it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. You are supposed to be on the outside looking in as a coach. You are not, and I don't think Yo is buddy-buddy with the players at all. In fact, the way I describe him, I see him as the college professor who is around the age of the students
and
needs to dress up a little bit more to assert his kind of, like, authority. And my issue here is, why not, or my thing is, bring in an older guy who can kind of roll his eyes and go, guys, 5-game losing streaks happen. Just don't freak out. That's all you have to do. I mean, that's kind of what you have to do. And this team, every time they hit turmoil, Yo stops talking to the team. Yo smashes a stick over the boards or whatever. I mean, stupid things happen. This is professional sports. Act as a professional.
Yeah.
And that's what they need. And I hate to be that guy, but someone needs to say this in the market. The team is fine. They need another leader. It will not happen in the middle of the season. You got to wait until everything kind of reshuffles. You got to find the right guy, and you got to go for it now because there's not much time left with at least the old core that they have.
There really isn't. So, that's it. It's not even just like a popular sentiment because fire Yo it's always been a thing, and I agree with you where it's like
every
just
coach
a knee-jerk
is going to have that
reaction. But I've been a Yo defender a lot, and even as they're getting into this slump they're getting into, but it's just, and it didn't mean that we were wrong about it last year. I think defending Yo last year made total sense because it was a goaltending problem.
And mumps and stuff, didn't it? Wasn't that last year?
It was just bizarre.
Some weird shit.
They had a bunch, and Suter and Parise both lost their dad. They weren't playing well, so I don't think that I was wrong in defending Yo last year, but that's why I'm not really defending him now. I think that there's a lot of very fair criticism of him, and, I don't necessarily agree with firing them in this season unless they continue to play like this.
Unless they won't make
while.
The playoffs. I think that's the only time you really would think about it.
But I certainly think that you take a look and at least, at the very least, see what you have out there this summer.
Yeah.
And if you have a veteran coach who you think can do a better job leading this, you know, kind of, you know, differently built team where it's very old and young at the same time, I think that you'll take a look at it.
I will say this. I think if you bring in a new coach, here's what you got. You have kind of a control sample if you want to look at it like a science experiment. And so if there are issues with the team, we may realize they got to trade some players and they need to shake up the young core, or some of these old guys, they need to find a way to get rid of them. But if that happens, and if Mike Yeo honestly was not the issue, the thing is he's going to have the last laugh, because I think he's a guy who understands kind of these advanced stats. He's a very progressive thinker in the game, and I think he will be better on his second job than the first, yeah. And that's just a sad reality. He has been through it before. He will have better success in new scenery. That's how it's going to work.
That's exactly what Dan just said, that he was going to win a cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2 years.
Sounds about right. I mean, sounds about right. And at the same time, look, if the Minnesota Wild do this well,
no harm too.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
If you get the right guy, it's just, I think we get upset about this team. I contrast it to the Wolves. You were watching the Wolves game the other night, and we were talking on Twitter, and I'm not joking when I said it's a different kind of disappointment. With the Wolves, you go, God, how do we have a basketball team here in a market where people would really embrace basketball? And that was once great. I don't know if you guys remember this. As a kid, like, I used to watch Gugliotta and, you know, Starbury and Garnett and stuff like that, and There is a market for basketball here, and I go, how are you guys messing this up year after year? And I think they were on a track, and there was a tragedy that happened, and unfortunately with Flip.
No, you're not wrong, because in my youth, I loved the Wolves.
Right.
I watched them religiously.
Right.
And then, you know, Flip got fired, and it just kind of went downhill. And
right.
You just kind of got more and more disinterested, and for me, the ending point was Garnett got traded, and then I was like, I don't have any cares about this team.
And so, like, the nail in the coffin would be the 09 draft, right? Where you choose two guys over Curry, and there was such a mess there, but I think they're headed in the right direction, but you can be positive about them because it's low expectations, young team on the rise. With the Minnesota Wild, look, you're not allowed to be young in the NHL. By the time you're 22, 23, you got to get going. And for the most part, I think these players are ready. I think Zucker's ready to get going. I think Coyle, we've seen this right now. I think we will see this with Dumba in 2 years. But my thing with the Wilds is it's frustrating because they've stalled. And that's what we can't.
And that was, I kind of made a big point of this on Wild Extra in the forums this week was, I love Chuck Fletcher's mentality when he took over. He wanted to build this team through the draft.
Right.
And he took over, he started drafting well and whatever, and then he got the approval to sign Parisian Suter, and ever since, it's just kind of been a win-now mentality, so you can get some kind of great run with these guys while they're still in their primes. So they've just been tossing draft picks out the window, and it's just like, you've really kind of lost what you signed up for. Like, you've lost your mentality. Like,
here,
I just don't feel that anymore. Like, you know, you want to build through the draft, great. But when you signed Parisian Suter, you just kind of tossed that out the window. Like, you didn't care what your draft pick was going to be. You wanted to win now.
Here's my theory on this, and let me know what you guys think, because you are wearing a Sabres jersey right now, a Hasek jersey, the red one, as they change their jerseys all the time, it's the red one. I feel like he, remember the Sabres, probably, this would be maybe 4 or 5 years back, it was the year that every top seed in the East lost, right? And the Sabres were the top seed in their division.
Was that the Breer when Breer was just, like, unbelievable?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think he wanted to recreate the Sabres in Minnesota with high-end talent, a Parisi Suter, that they never had. And I wonder, I understand why someone's trying to take over our podcast. He's trying to get on the podcast right now. My point here is I think he went after guys he wanted. Vanek, a guy who was with the Gophers or whatever. Pominville, who I didn't think was going to get old, at least as fast as he did. Like, he seemed
and it's still, his underlying stats are okay. Like, that's just it. He's shooting the puck a decent amount. He's he's doing some decent stuff, but he just is not scoring at all. And it's just, it's super frustrating because it's like there's, he's, you can tell he's doing other things, but he is just not scoring at all. And that's basically all the Wild need him for. And he's just not doing it.
So I think Giles made a good point here, is that, yeah, he wanted Bill through the draft, but at a certain point you need NHL-ready players.
Yep.
Maybe he just at a certain point looked and said, I have enough guys through the draft. Yeah. I know they didn't draft Coyle, but Coyle essentially became a draft pick.
Yeah,
Zucker, you have, you know, Scandella, who we didn't mention before, but Brodin, Dumba. He's like, I got enough of these guys. I just need guys who are professionals and ready to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to blame Fletcher yet because I want to see what another coach could do with his team. And here's the other kind of weird mental part of it is a GM is only allowed to fire so many coaches before the ownership.
Himself, yeah.
Well, no, it's eventually they go, dude, you're the problem. It's not the coaching.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And so if you're Fletcher, if it's, I'm worried about it because Yo's my buddy and I was with Pittsburgh with him, you go, get over it. This is called show biz, not show friends, right? You got to eventually, you know, kind of be ruthless. If it's, I'm worried about getting fired, you will get fired if you keep on going with Yo and the team loses. You know what I mean? And if it's simply a, I'm going to give him one more year, which may be the case, I think the mentality's right then. I think you play out the year with this, see who's available, and you know what? It's going to be sad. I think, you know, Yo, wherever he is, if he's a minor league, you know, head coach or if he's an assistant somewhere, may go, man, maybe I could have done that with that team, but it will not matter because I think he'll be better in his second job, and hopefully it's a win-win situation with the Wild win now and Mike Yo wins somewhere. I think people would pull for him here, right? People would pull for him
I think
here.
They kind of would. It was kind of like when Flip went to Detroit.
Right, exactly.
It was the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you know, at least he's doing well there, and maybe his time with the Wolves had run out, but it would just kind of, it just kind of worked out. I think even if Gardy goes somewhere, there's a lot of people that don't like
him.
I think he would have some success as a manager like next season, obviously, because he doesn't have a job now. But I think people would be totally fine with it. But his time here had run out.
Well,
you know, and I think maybe that's the thing with Yo. It's like, I don't doubt that he's a pretty good coach, and his system has worked for what we needed for, but yeah, I think he just would be better off with his second job. And you see a lot of instances like that. I mean, Bill Belichick, you know, it just, the list goes on and on of guys who failed miserably in their first coaching job and then went on to much better things.
You look at the Vikings. I know you're not a huge Vikings guy, but at the time that Leslie Frazier was fired,
right,
they was, Michael Rosenberg from SI was comparing the Vikings to Cleveland and saying, this is a sad sack organization. They fired a guy who was a class act. He was a guy who, you know, for better or worse, did well with the Vikings, at least in certain years, had Ponder,
did
well with what he had.
Yeah.
Why the Vikings aren't regretting losing Leslie, who, I don't know, maybe he'll be in a, you know, a head coach. It doesn't matter. Because you have Mike Zimmer.
And because you have
North Turner. And because you did that well, it should not matter to anyone else.
No.
Look at Molly. People like Paul Molitor not just because he was Hall of Famer from St. Paul.
Sure.
Because he was, quote-unquote, one of us. He's done a good job with this team and maybe brought something Gardenhire didn't have.
Right. Yep.
Maybe a little bit hardliner.
Yeah.
And
Gardy definitely wasn't.
So as long as Gardy isn't the, you know, at one point they were saying the Tigers, as long as it's not a direct conflict with the Twins. If Gardy takes the Cincinnati Reds to the World Series, people will be like, damn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's awesome.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not playing the Twins in the World Series, people are going to be pulling for him. So, the problem with the Wild is I think they have to realize, like, Yo can succeed somewhere else as long as we get the right guy.
Yeah.
And that's the way you have to think about it, I think.
All right, well, yeah, shit, we could probably wrap it. You got something on this, Giles?
I don't know. I was trying to quick finagle one last guess, but no,
it's all right.
That didn't work, but
okay.
I think we've run.
Yeah, we're almost up to an hour and a half. I think we're doing all right.
As the Vikings are into Super Bowl 11.
They're just covering all the Vikings' losses one by one, I think.
Yeah, they're trying to get me to drink more, which I should probably refrain from. So,
No, I am not. No, he's not eating yet. Oh.
Yeah,
liquid lunch.
So, I guess as we wrap up our All-Star Meltdown edition of the Giles and the Goalies.
That's an accurate description, actually, considering the All-Star cast we've had and the meltdown of a podcast that it was.
And then you had me.
Right.
John, and
I couldn't let anyone on the podcast.
Yeah. thank you to Heather. Thank you to John.
Yes.
Thank you to Dan.
Yep.
Thank you to John Bonas.
Yep.
I guess I should have clarified. The first John was John Marthaler.
Right.
Thank you to him. Thank you to John Bonas. Thank you to Dan Mick. Thanks to Tom Schreer. Schreier.
There's a website called Omaha. ColdOmaha.com launches on Monday. And, yeah, it's gonna you're gonna cover all the Minnesota sports and be another great.
Did I say Heather?
You did.
Okay,
you got have another Giles. Have another.
Shut up. but no, this has been a fun show. Didn't think we were gonna get this in, but it's been really enjoyable. Hopefully, we can do this again next year.
Or sooner, maybe even.
But,
who knows?
Who knows? I find all our related writings at Wild Extra, wildextra.com. No E in extra.
Right.
As Adele's going to close us out here. but this has been really fun. We're going to go drink more beers, and we're going to probably podcast next week again, and hopefully my voice returns, because it's about to go out.
I think we're losing you, Giles. Yep. I think we're losing you.
For Ben, Tom, and the rest of our guests today, thanks for listening, and have a good week.
Was without a doubt the worst episode ever.
Strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next. You better give respect.